Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sunday Night Recap Show, the Fans Bros Football Podcast. I am your host, Dan Harris. That is Pat Fitzmaurice. We are here to recap all the craziness that was week 8 of the 2021 NFL season. Pat, happy Halloween. I noticed you kind of hung me out to dry here, and I'm the only one showing up in costume. So, yeah, we're off to a bad start.
So sorry about that, Dan. My kids are out of the trick-or-treat zone. So, you know, don't do the costume thing as much these days. But
That's fair.
Yeah, we get a nice, interesting Halloween day of games, though. You knew things were going to be a little weird on Halloween.
Yeah, it was a great day, actually. And I'm speaking almost entirely just as a Jets fan. But it's fine. We've got a lot to recap, obviously, because we only had two teams on bye. So let's get to it. Before we do, if you want more of my thoughts, and of course you do, because who wouldn't when I'm dressed in this costume, I'm going to record my podcast, The Kickoff. That is every weekday morning. It's 10, 15 minutes, really, not even 15 minutes at this point. It is my basic thoughts on what's going on. Now, I may not be the sixth most accurate ranker, or whatever Pat is here on the season, but I am the ninth most accurate ranker, at least coming into this week. We'll see how this craziness did. So, you know, some people might say my thoughts are mildly valuable, including my son, Will. That's basically how he describes it. So, again, check it off, The Kickoff. Anywhere you can find your podcast, go get it. All right, Pat, you know where we're starting. We're starting with Trust or Bust. I've got three different groups, because this first one's a group, not just a name. But we'll start with the Eagles running backs, and specifically Boston Scott, who has 12 carries for 60 yards and 2 scores, and Jordan Howard, who has 12 carries and 57 yards and 2 scores. We're not going to mention Kenneth Gainwell because it was really, really upsetting. But, you know, we've got the world's greatest matchup in the history of mankind with the Chargers up next. So let me ask you something. Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, trust or bust?
Trust Scott, bust Howard. I think the snaps went 29 Scott, 20 he who shall not be named, and 16 for Jordan Howard. So, you know, in the 16 were, I think there were very few snaps in the first half for Jordan Howard before it turned into a complete blowout. And then Howard got some run in the second half. So, like, the Scott thing was hard to see coming. He had run behind Gainwell all season and had been, you know, just basically a healthy bench guy, or maybe I can't even remember if he was active for all of those games, but it was Gainwell getting all the run. It was hard to see this coming. I mean, my buddy Jason Wood of the fantasy community, who is a longtime Eagles season ticket holder, was totally shocked by the Eagles running game usage. And but Scott's role without Sanders there is a meaty one. Like, he's the main early down back, and you know, Howard's kind of this short yardage guy, and when they needed to grind some clock with the big lead in the second half, they turned to him a little bit. So I don't think Howard's role is very trustworthy. I think Scott's is.
Can we drop Kenneth Gainwell out of curiosity?
Oh, man. I want to say no. Like, I feel like this week was just kind of a weird anomaly. I'm just shocked he didn't get more run. I'm kind of curious to hear what Nick Sirianni says about that. Because we liked him so much. The latent potential in the event of a Sanders injury, and today was just kind of a kick in the teeth for anyone who was counting on a nice day out of Gainwell. I recommended him to a lot of people as a starter, and it just was terrible. So, I think we're 1 week away from him being a drop.
I just can't believe that this was the week, right? We had you don't root for an injury, but if you are, have Gainwell, you are waiting for this, an opportunity, and then it goes to these guys. And to be fair, I mean, Gainwell led in carries with 13, but it was all in garbage time and he did nothing with them. So yeah, I'm in agreement with your assessment. By the way, if you're watching us here on YouTube, which you can always on Sunday night, youtube.com/fantasypros, that's not Matt Perrault. His name is actually Pat Fitzmaurice. I don't know. Chris, our video producer, probably screwed something up. I don't have the way to fix it. So don't worry. That's Pat Fitzmaurice. Nobody freak out or anything like that. Let's get to a more interesting name here, and it's Justin Fields, Pat. And this was a guy that people sort of were waiting for as we came in. It was fun, Pat. That was sort of the overwhelming thought I had while watching that game and while watching Fields in this game. 19 for 27 through the air, just 175 yards. Okay. And a touchdown with the pick, but it was the 10 carries, the 103 yards with the touchdown on the ground. They've got the Steelers, Pat, coming up next. So Justin Fields, trust or bust?
I'm going to say bust. I had been pretty much above consensus on Fields most weeks, I think, coming up until this week, which is part of the reason I've been so poor in quarterback rankings accuracy this year.
Yeah.
And of course, I faded him this week when he finally blows up. But the running looked really good. And we do see him look good on throws when he gets a clean pocket. It's when there's pressure where he just kind of crumbles if he can't elude it with the run. Today, he did a really good job of eluding it with the run and turning it into positive rushing yardage. We saw him stick some throws. I still like the overall progression. I think he's on track. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But the Bears' offensive line is going to be inconsistent. And I think he's going to see more pressure from Pittsburgh than he's seen from the 49ers. We've kind of had trouble putting heat on opposing quarterbacks this year. So general trajectory, yes. Next week, no. Bust, and probably more miss than hit the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm definitely more intrigued now because this is what we needed. Fields has the rushing ability to total the 100-yard games, right? Which he's really going to need to do to have any sort of semblance of usefulness as a fantasy option. And this was great to see. I agree. I mean, there's no way I'm going to rank him as a starter next week. You were not alone in fading him this week. Every single ranker, I'm sure, faded him this week in this matchup. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I will say that. More bust than trust, of course. But I am definitely intrigued. Last one here, Pat, and it's Van Jefferson. He was a guy who I was intrigued by this week. And again, a lot of it was the fact that now and going forward, there's no more DeSean Jackson, right? I mean, he's requesting a trade. I assume that he's not going to be a part of this offense, even if he's not traded here going forward. 6 targets. Okay. 3 catches, 88 yards, 13 targets over the last 2 games. Pat, what do you think, Van Jefferson, trust or bust?
I think trust for the most part. The Rams go with almost exclusively 11 personnel. And now that Jackson's out of the picture, we saw Van Jefferson basically play the same number of snaps today as we saw Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods play. Kupp's clearly far and away the lead guy here, but that still generally leaves around 6 to 7 targets for Van Jefferson a week. And this is a highly functional passing attack. So I think he's certainly rosterable, probably not a starter most weeks for you, but a guy who could easily be plugged into your lineup if you have bye or injury issues.
I think that's a great clarification, essentially, because in a way, I agree with you that I do sort of trust him in the sense that I do think that he is going to have weeks that are going to be valuable and he's worth being on a fantasy roster. But he's not somebody I think that you and I are going to be sitting there and basically being like, start Van Jefferson for sure. You can feel confident in this each and every week. But he is a guy who I think you can roster going forward, which is basically what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah, the perfect last receiver on your roster, I think.
I love it. All right, let's go to I'm confused by your opinion, sir. And we got one guy, and it's Melvin Gordon. So look, we know that Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams are basically going to split touches. They have all year. There is nothing to suggest that that is going to change. In my rest of season rankings, Pat, I basically said, okay, they're both going to basically be roughly the same going forward. I had Williams 22nd, Melvin Gordon 23rd. You had Williams at a similar spot, 21st overall, but you had Melvin Gordon all the way down at 30. So a big difference for you. And today it was a Melvin Gordon game. They basically split touches again, but you had Gordon being more productive, 10 for 47 on the ground. Then he scores the touchdown, 3 catches, 15 yards through the air. Also a touchdown. Now, he did lose that fumble at the end of the game while icing it, but still obviously a productive game. And Williams, 9 for 35 on the ground, 2 catches, 13 yards through the air. So with such a disparity in your ranking, I say to you, Pat, I'm confused by your opinion on Melvin Gordon, sir.
And it is certainly unlike me, Dan, to fade a Wisconsin Badger. So not so much a full fade. I do think as of now, it's basically a 50-50 split. The difference is, I think, if the season goes off the rails for the Broncos, which when we did those rest of season rankings, that was coming off a very disappointing showing in Cleveland where the defense looked like it had basically quit in that game. A bit of a bounce back today, although, you know, just kind of squeaking out a victory over Washington at home. So still not feeling great about the overall trajectory of the Broncos season. And if things do go off the rails, maybe they turn to Javonte a little bit and give him the, I don't know, make him the 1A at least to Melvin's 1B, since, you know, Melvin is, I believe, done with them after this year. And, you know, this is, Javonte really is the future of this backfield.
So that, I guess, is the question, which is if they do go south, and again, you're right, like this is a yay, we won, we squeaked out a victory over a completely dysfunctional opposing team at home, not the best. But you think that if things eventually do go completely south, that they will really do the rational coaching thing and move away from Gordon and go to Williams then?
I think there's a chance they do. I don't know for certain that they will. I mean, I can't assume rational coaching in Denver with Vic Fangio and his crew, but, you know, I think there's a good chance it goes that way. And by the way, Melvin Gordon did lose a fumble late that gave
at the end.
Although that came one play after Javonte had put one on the ground and Denver had recovered. So kind of an interesting turn of events there.
Yes, I agree, but obviously they did hold on, so I think Gordon should be okay here going forward. But yeah, I think that's the difference too. I don't really think that they would do that. I think that so long as they have Gordon, he is going to be a factor, even if it's at the end of the season. This is just very tough, I think, for a team to sort of have a rookie completely displace a veteran running back, regardless of sort of where they are. But again, we will see, and that's a fair explanation at the very least. Let's get into the games, though. Panthers 19, Falcons 13, really just kind of an ugly game here. For the Panthers, Sam Darnold throws for just 129 yards. He does rush for 66. He leaves late with a concussion. Let's hope that he is okay, of course. The lone touchdown was scored by Chuba Hubbard, who comes through 24 touches for 82 yards with the score. He does recover after losing that fumble right off the bat, which scared a lot of fantasy managers. But let's talk receivers here. Not Robbie Anderson, Pat, because I think we are done talking about Robbie Anderson right now. One target, no catch. And again, he had that ball, but it got jarred loose there for a second. But forget about him. Let's talk about DJ Moore for a second. 8 targets, 4 catches, 59 yards. So he had that almost touchdown, right? That looked like a touchdown at the time and then got reversed. You're not killed with that line in a half or full PPR league, but I feel like the you're not killed by that line is now the new DJ Moore line that I say every single week that we do this podcast. This is now 4 straight games, Pat, with 6 catches or fewer, 73 yards receiving or fewer, and no touchdowns. 4 straight games now. Now, Sam Darnold's playing poorly. You had Moore 13th in your rest of season rankings. I actually had him 10th. Do you think that Moore needs to be moved further down in your rest of season rankings?
Maybe a few spots, probably somewhere still in high wide receiver 2 range. But yeah, the overall turn that that passing game has taken has been sort of a dark one. And although he is still getting this primo target share and looks good on the catchable targets he gets, and darn it, Dan, that should have been a touchdown.
It should have been. Okay, did I miss something, Pat?
No.
Because I was, okay. Well, I don't understand.
I don't get it. I'm not sure why it wasn't touched. I mean, it looked like it was his third foot, like the third step that they were looking at. So I'm kind of shocked by that. And obviously it looks like a much better day. And maybe we're not even having this conversation. But I think we should probably have this conversation, though, because you're starting him. It's good that he's the alpha in this passing game. But, man, this passing game is not as crisp as it was early in the season. And, you know, dysfunctional is really the word for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like every week, Pat, I'm ranking him in a good matchup like this as a wide receiver one, a strong one. I have start sit questions. And so it's like, well, of course, you're starting more over a lot of other guys who are in that conversation. And I just kind of feel like it's more for my own sanity that I need to kind of reevaluate how I feel about the guy. On the other side of the ball, of course, we have the Calvin Ridley situation here where he doesn't play again for personal reasons. He later submits a social media post that basically says he needs some time and he should be able to take all the time he needs, and he should. And kudos to the Falcons and kudos to him for recognizing that. But this is something we probably need to look at here going forward, Pat, which is we don't know when Calvin Ridley is going to play again necessarily. And so we have a game here without Ridley, the second game. This one, though, it's really ugly. I mean, Matt Ryan throws for just 146 yards passing with one touchdown, two interceptions. The receiver that everyone was like, okay, wow, maybe we can get away with this guy right now is a flex without Calvin Ridley. Russell Gage sees no targets. Kyle Pitts, 6 targets, 2 catches, 13 yards receiving. Your leading receiver is Tajay Sharp, who has 5 catches for 58 yards. The only guy who produces is Cordarrelle Patterson, 35 yards on the ground, 37 yards through the air with a touchdown. So the Saints are next here, Pat. What do you think we can expect from the Falcons going forward if Ridley is not going to be active?
It was weird. We thought there was going to be this dividend to go around from the absence of Calvin Ridley, and it was either going to take the form of a massive Kyle Pitts game or even further increased usage for Cordarrelle Patterson in the passing game, or Russell Gage goes off. And none of those things happened. There was no dividend this week. And it's kind of interesting with Gage. Like, I've always kind of suspected that Gage wasn't very good, and now I think we're kind of seeing that. Like, he splits.
Yeah.
I think he and Tajay Sharp had the same number of snaps, 36 snaps each today, and Sharp did much more with his. And I think Sharp has kind of turned into the main receiver in this offense with Ridley not there. I don't know. Who knows? It could be a Gage week next week, but I do think Pitts is probably going to benefit long term and get the target boost if Ridley isn't around. I think the receivers are still going to be really, really dicey. And guys, if you really need to just cross your fingers and say a prayer and throw one of them in your lineup, either Gage or Sharp, maybe it'll work out, probably not. And, I think we saw more 2 running back usage today. So Mike Davis might have been one of the gainers from this.
Yeah, that actually was something, Pat, because I did think that, we saw Kyle Pitts go crazy, in the game against the Jets without Calvin Ridley. But here we really didn't see that. But, you know, we did see Mike Davis here get involved. He basically had the same number of snaps, the same number of routes, the same number of carries, the same number of targets as Cordarrelle Patterson. So, you know, maybe he is somebody who does, you know, regain a little bit of relevance from this at a time where I think most fantasy managers were completely ready to jump ship. Yeah. All right, before we get to the next game, Pat, investing the conventional way, let's talk about this for a second. Investing in the conventional way, in like conventional, like day trading, for example, that is like when you draft Zach Wilson and Ronald Jones with your first 2 picks in fantasy, and then you win your fantasy league, right? Because most people don't realize that with day trading, 3% of day traders turn profit. 3%. It's true. You hear all the stories about people getting rich and all that sort of stuff. It's 3%. And with equity firms now basically having these, you know, slashing these long-term projections, it's going to be even less than that. But there is a top performing alternative asset that is recommended by 86% of the world's most foremost financial experts, one that billionaires have used forever to grow their wealth for centuries. It's not gold. It's not real estate. It's not crypto. It's actually contemporary art. Contemporary art prices outperformed returns by 174%. S&P returns by 174% from 95 to 2020. And now, thanks to recently enacted law, everyday investors like you can get in on the action with Masterworks. Masterworks is the first company to let you invest multi-million dollar works by Banksy and Warhol and more. They've got more than 200,000 members and a long wait list, but you can jump right to the front when you go to masterworks.io/fantasy. That is masterworks.io/fantasy. I will see you there. See the disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. All right, Pat, Titans 34, Colts 31. This was a really interesting one. A little bit of a rough beginning for Ryan Tannehill, but he does come through 265 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He does throw 2 picks. He adds 26 yards rushing. AJ Brown was awesome. 11 targets, 10 catches, 155 yards. With the score, no other receiver has more than 4 targets. No other receiver has more than 33 yards receiving. I actually, Pat, I mean, we can talk about whatever you want, but I actually want to ask you about Derrick Henry very briefly. 28 for 68 on the ground. No targets. Now, the Colts are number one in defensive DVOA against the rush, so him not having a great day isn't that crazy. But this is on the heels of a 29 for 86 day against the Chiefs, a much easier defense. After being a plus in the receiving game right from the start, Pat, where you and I were going crazy because he was getting all those targets, just 4 catches combined over his last 4 games. His next 2 are against the Rams and the Saints. Of course, Derrick Henry is an elite fantasy running back, but he has been the clear-cut number one running back for a while. Do you have any real concerns at all, even minimally, with Derrick Henry right now?
No, not really. Maybe the defenses are just keying on him a little bit more since there was some question as to whether Ryan Tannehill was capable of making defenses pay. I think he's starting to show that with a healthy AJ Brown, he is capable of making defenses pay and has been a little bit. And we also saw Henry a little bit hurt at the beginning of this game with his shoe off or something in the sideline early, dealing with some sort of foot or ankle injury. He was back pretty quickly, but maybe that was a factor too. So not really concerned, to be honest.
Yeah. Anything else on the Titans other than AJ Brown's amazing?
No, I mean, it's just, AJ Brown and Derrick Henry are huge fantasy difference makers. And Tannehill is a borderline starting quarterback in 1QB leagues.
Yeah. I roll with Tannehill every single time. I haven't streamed over him yet. Even when I have guys ranked over him, Pat, where I have Tannehill, I just kind of roll with him because I just feel like, he's not going to kill me. So that's good enough. He won't kill you. For the Colts, Jonathan Taylor comes through, of course, 122 total yards with the touchdown. Carson Wentz, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns, but 2 absolutely killer backbreaking interceptions to lose the game. Michael Pittman Jr., I trailed your props, Pat, and you had him over, I think it was 63.5 receiving yards for one of your props. I trailed it. I gave it out on the Betting Pros live stream and claimed it as my own. Thank you very much. 15 targets, 10 catches, 86 yards. And 2 touchdowns. Pat, you had him 27th rest of the season. I had him 28th. Are you moving him up after this game?
I'm moving him up, definitely. He, especially that he was able to do it with T.Y. Hilton around and be the alpha guy. Like, really good to see. He is the alpha guy there now.
He's so awesome. I love him. Did you want to say something about Jonathan Taylor, by the way? I felt like you did, and I just kept going right past it.
Yes. Frank Reich is just horrible, man. I mean, he is just, he just refuses to unleash Jonathan Taylor. I mean, when he has been as effective as he's been, and Carson Wentz is throwing the ball 51 times and Jonathan Taylor's doing it 16 times. And that interception, the horrible interception with the screen pass that went awry.
Yep.
And all of a sudden the pressure was on Carson Wentz and he just didn't have an out. And, instead of just eating the safety, he decided to flip it away. That was because, Reich's pet passing down guy who always has to be in there. Like, it's kind of like the eighth inning guy in baseball, Dan, managers, even if a guy's not effective, well, he's the eighth inning guy. Hey, it didn't work out. He walked 3 guys. It's not my fault. He's the eighth inning guy. I mean, I kind of feel like Reich is managing the backs that way. And so he had Nyheim Hines in a passing down situation and Nyheim Hines got blown up on the play.
Yep.
Blown up, knocked to the ground. And so he was going to be the screen target. And all of a sudden he's on the ground. And that's when Wentz gets the pressure and panics because his target is on his hands and knees, basically.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, just give Taylor the damn ball. He averaged 25, 26 carries a game in 3 years at Wisconsin. Like, he can handle more than 14 to 16 carries a game.
Of course he can. Of course he can. And he is the difference between winning and losing. And, you know, Wentz does some good things, but give me a break. When there's a person to have the ball, when it's crunch time, it has to be Taylor. So,
Can I just say something? The back-breaking interception that set up the game winner for Tennessee. Yes,
sure.
Jonathan Taylor was wide open, like 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, like wide open, no one within 10 yards of him. Dump it to him, see what he can do after the catch. You get at least 10 yards plus whatever Jonathan Taylor can make on his own. And instead he like throws in a double or triple coverage.
Triple coverage, actually. I think that's the better play. I like it. I don't know, man. I don't know what you're going to say, unfortunately. And as somebody, again, who had the Colts laying three, it was quite disappointing in that game. Bills 26, Dolphins 11. Closer game than the final score indicates here. Bills kind of put it away late. Kind of a disappointing game here, though, for the Bills, other than Josh Allen, who throws for 249 and two touchdowns. He runs for 55 yards and another touchdown. Let's break this down a little bit here, though. A couple of things. Start with the running game. Devin Singletary, 8 touches, 29 yards. Zach Moss, 14 touches, including 6 catches with those. 58 yards. I mean, Moss has gotten a bit more work here, Pat, lately in the passing game. So I'm not sure whether or not that makes a difference to you. But do you think we can start either one of these guys? And I assume it's going to be Moss if there is one. Can we start either one of these guys on a regular basis?
I think Moss, yes. And Singletary, no. Like, we've seen this kind of trending towards Moss. And every time that seems to happen, a lot of the time it sort of snaps back. And it turns out being a 50-50. But I think that this the gap between these guys has widened a bit, and I think we saw Moss basically outsnap Singletary by a 2-to-1 ratio today. Mm-hmm. So I think yes, we can start Moss. No, we can't start Singletary.
Yeah, I need to move Moss down a little bit, I think. Not even in rest of season rankings, just I feel like if there's the right matchup, I like to have, like, I feel like I should have him as a flex every single week, and I feel like he breaks into borderline RB2 status, and I just don't think really he can get there at this point reliably. So I think I'm going to move him down a little bit. But let's talk about the passing game. Pat, Cole Beasley has the big game, 13 targets, 10 catches, 110 yards here. Stephon Diggs, 7 targets, 5 catches, 40 yards. He does score a touchdown. Back-to-back games now with the touchdown for Diggs. But he's topped 89 yards receiving one time on the season. He has topped 69 yards receiving twice. Diggs is amazing. Are you at all considering dropping him from your elite fantasy wide receiver rankings a little bit going forward?
I am. I think he's going to be more mid to low end wide receiver one going forward. And it's just that the collection of wide receivers they have here is pretty diverse, and you can go any number of ways, and Josh Allen can pick on mismatches and do whatever he wants. And now with Dawson Knox out of the picture for a while, we saw Gabriel Davis get more run and get involved in the offense today and score a touchdown. So it's just, we can't count on Diggs hitting double digit targets in every game anymore. And, you know, they're going to be Diggs games. They're going to be Beasley games. They're going to be Emmanuel Sanders games. And Sanders got skunked today after.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. 4 targets, no catches. Are you worried at all about it, or it's just going to happen sometimes?
Yeah. I think he's just a wide receiver 3, and with a wide receiver 3, there are going to be some bust weeks, and he had one this week. I just don't think like there's anything to be read into it as far as his, downward momentum or anything like that. I just think he was the odd man out this week, and it's kind of going to be like that with Buffalo.
Okay. Well, then we're going to have to learn to live with it. For the Dolphins, Tua scores the lone touchdown here, and it's rushing. He throws for just 205 yards. Devontae Parker does return and plays well, 11 targets, 8 catches, 85 yards. That's really it. Mike Gesicki, 3 catches, 48 yards. Jalen Waddle sees 12 targets. That's great, but just 4 catches for 29 yards. Rough matchup here, but Houston is next. So are you just kind of giving them a mulligan here for this one?
Yeah, it seemed like the weird game where Tua saved his better throws for Parker and had a lot of off-target throws for Waddle. It just seemed like to me. And Parker played really well, except for one late drop. He made some terrific catches, had that late drop, and drops are kind of a thing with him. Like, it's you've got to live with them. But, you know, he made some fantastic contested catches. And Waddle's going to have better days. It was just one of those days where Tua was not hitting him. And, It'll be kind of interesting when Will Fuller gets back. That adds a new dimension to it, because today they were basically playing two wideouts and two tight ends all day. So it was just Parker and Waddle. If you have Parker or Waddle, that's kind of what you want to see. I mean, it should have paid off for Waddle too. It did pay off for Parker. It's when Fuller gets back that things get a little more complicated.
Meanwhile, the first game without Malcolm Brown here, Myles Gaskin, 15 touches, 55 yards, just kind of a low-end flex play going forward.
Yeah, Miami just can't run block. Like their run blocking is terrible, and they had a tough defensive matchup. So
very good. That's how I feel as well. Before we keep going, you guys know DraftKings because you play DFS, I assume. But do you know about DraftKings Sportsbook, which is the official sports betting partner of the NFL? DraftKings Sportsbook is my sportsbook here in New Hampshire, and it is fantastic. It's easy to use. It's an easy app that I can use on my phone whenever I am, wherever I am. You get paid right away as soon as your bets close. And right now they are just going to give you some money. Okay. Cause new customers can bet $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets, $200 on a $5 bet. All when you use our code Fantasy Pros. Now, if DraftKings Sportsbook is not available in your area, don't worry about it. You can still play DFS, where DraftKings is giving all new customers free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code FANTASYPROS. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Again, if they win, you win with the promo code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older. It's available in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only new customers, only minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Jets 34, Bengals 31. Just as we all expected, Mike White throws for 405 yards and three touchdowns to noted fantasy stalwarts like Ty Johnson and Tyler Kroft and Braxton Berrios and really almost Keelan Cole, frankly. But we'll get to the real star of the game, Michael Carter, in just a second. But I mean, you've got no Corey Davis here. You've got Jameson Crowder, 9 targets, 8 catches, 84 yards. Elijah Moore catching all 6 of his targets for 67 yards. You had the Braxton Berrios touchdown. You had Keelan Cole with the almost touchdown. I had sort of taken the view that with Mike White in, and now he is going to be in next week, obviously, they're not going to go to Joe Flacco or anything like that, that we couldn't really consider any pass catcher. The only one we consider really was Michael Carter. But do you think with this performance that we can actually consider either Davis or even Jameson Crowder or something going forward with White under center?
I think we can consider Crowder because he played nearly every offensive snap, but Moore and Keelan Cole basically split snaps. They both had about a 55% share. So it just so happened that of the 30 snaps that Elijah Moore played, he was targeted on 6 of them. So he was heavily involved in the snaps he was in on. But that usage is a little bit hard to trust, especially when it's a backup quarterback. So as promising as Elijah Moore is, I wouldn't feel real great about rolling him out there. Now I'd feel a little bit better about Crowder.
All right. But you have to feel good about rolling out Michael Carter at this point, right? 15 for 77 with a touchdown on the ground, 14 targets, 9 catches, 95 yards through the air. It's the second straight game where running back saw 44% of the targets from Mike White here. And again, Ty Johnson, also a good game and scored a touchdown. As we said, how do you feel about Carter, generally speaking, rest of season?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You gotta love the combined run catch thing. I mean, like a, poor man's Marshall Faulk type usage at this point. So pretty good. And like, they're even working in Ty Johnson between the two backs today. They had 20 targets and 14 catches for like 155 yards.
Yeah.
So like the whole dump off thing was working well, but like that wasn't all that Mike White was restricted to. I mean, he was hitting the receivers also. And by the way, about those receivers, Dan, kind of a weird thing. I noticed that Denzel Mims played the most snaps of any Jets receiver. I mean, wasn't really in on the action too much. I think he did have one pretty nice catch, maybe late in the first half or something.
Yeah.
But Anyway, yeah, like the Carter thing is great. He's a must start now pretty much every week.
Without a doubt. He has to be in your lineup. Yeah, Mims did see the most snaps. He ran the most routes. Just 3 targets on the day. Again, I need to see what things look like when Corey Davis comes back to really draw any conclusions. But it is good to see a guy who's not all, I mean, he's been completely buried here in his second year. So it was good to at least see him on the field. For the Bengals, Joe Burrow, I mean, he throws for 259 yards and 3 touchdowns, but had a bad pick again that kind of changed the complexion of the game. You're not really complaining, Pat, if you relied on any Bengals. Joe Mixon just 14 for 33 on the ground. He does score a touchdown. He also adds 58 yards and another touchdown through the air. So that is great as a fantasy day. T. Higgins, 6 targets, 4 catches, 97 yards, one of them being a total circus catch that I loved. Tyler Boyd, 5 catches on 8 targets for 69 yards and a touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase, 9 targets, good. Just 3 catches and 32 yards. He did find the end zone. He also dropped a touchdown pass and dropped a couple others here. I don't know, Pat, any big takeaways here from the Bengals side?
My only takeaway, Dan, from this was that it seemed like a lot of people were starting to believe this was almost like a committee with Mixon and Perine, that Perine was going to have some role and was like almost flex worthy. I don't think it's that way at all. I think it's still Mixon's show. They didn't run the ball very much today, but like it was Mixon's backfield basically. And I don't think Perine had a carry today. So,
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. I don't think it's the near committee that some people seem to think it was going into this week.
Correct. Yeah, it is. Perine did not have a carry at all. So, you're correct. He had 2 targets. Funny, cause he had a target early on in the game near as they got down into the red zone. And I was like, oh God, is this what we're going to see right now with a catch by Perine? And then he was just completely phased out for the rest. And it was Mixon. So I agree with you there. And it is good to see. Let's get to the Steelers 15, Browns 10. As someone who was on the Steelers money line and on the Steelers getting 4 points up to 5 at some point, I was quite annoyed with the fake field goal that eventually got Chris Boswell injured. But kudos to them on finding a way around it. Najee Harris, great from a fantasy standpoint, as usual, 26 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. He did add 3 catches for 29 yards through the air, so always good there. Deontay Johnson sees the 13 targets, just 6 catches, though, but he does have 98 yards. What about Chase Claypool here, though, Pat? 5 targets, 4 catches, 45 yards. He does add 16 yards rushing. He had a disappointing game against Seattle, right? Where we all thought he was going to go nuts. Now he kind of disappoints here against the Browns. You and I were in the same range on him in our rest of season rankings here, Pat. I had him 24th. You had him 26th. Do you think we were too high in our rest of season rankings of Chase Claypool?
I still think that's about the right ballpark for him, but he's got to be hyper efficient with his targets because he does not get them at the same volume that Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson are getting targets. So, like he's going to top out at, it seems like 6 to 8 a week. And like, he's so big and fast and, you know, can win those contested catches and like catch a higher percentage of deep balls than most like vertical targets do, but he has to do that to pay off.
And right.
We just haven't seen it the last couple of weeks. So
go ahead.
No, that's about it. I mean, I think he's still a really good player. It just hasn't worked out for him the last couple of weeks.
Are you intrigued by Pat Freiermuth here with no Eric Ebron, 7 targets, 4 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown?
Yeah, his usage has been pretty compelling the last couple of weeks. Yep. And, you know, it's not like even if when Ebron does come back, that's not going to kill it because we saw Zach Gentry involved today too. Like he has 5 targets and 3 catches. So like the tight end is back in the Pittsburgh offense. It's we're rolling it back to the Heath Miller days, Dan. So yeah, Freiermuth is a guy that people can consider, which is good because I mean I think sort of the bottom of that tight end 1 tier started to crumble away a little bit this week with Higbee and Fant and Hunter Henry. So maybe Freiermuth is going to be one of the guys who comes up and bolsters that the bottom of the tight end 1 range. Like he's creeping into it now.
It certainly looked like there was a noted effort to get him the ball early in the game in particular, which was really good to see, right? Cause that's when it's kind of all scripted. That's when they know what they want to do. And they were going after him. He got a lot of targets early. So I'm intrigued by Pat Freiermuth. Again, thought it was really just going to be kind of a dynasty thing this year when I looked at him. But this is somebody who has worked his way into redraft consideration. For the Browns, Baker Mayfield does play here, just 225 yards passing. His lone touchdown, the lone touchdown, not his, he throws no touchdown passes. The lone touchdown for the Browns goes to Dearness Johnson, just 5 touches, 29 yards. Nick Chubb is held in check here, 16 for 61 on the ground, 8 yards receiving. Jarvis Landry sees 10 targets, 5 catches, 65 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., just one target, catches it for 6 yards. Pat, I guess I'll frame it like this. Should we be rostering anyone on this team other than Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt?
Dearness Johnson is playing the Kareem Hunt role until Kareem Hunt gets back. So I think he's rosterable and playable, quite frankly. And Jarvis Landry, I guess, is the one pass catcher who is worth having on a roster.
Yeah, I mean, Dearness Johnson, you know, he only got 4 carries today, Pat. So I don't know exactly how I feel about him necessarily going forward. And again, we don't know how long Kareem Hunt is going to be out, but certainly if you are struggling and with bye weeks, you know, obviously are going to be in full effect coming up, he's at least remaining on your roster. Landry is a guy who kind of a fill-in wide receiver for me, but to see 10 targets is great. But just to be clear, you can and you probably should drop Odell Beckham Jr., right?
Yes.
Boy, this is sad, but I agree with you. I agree with you completely. All right, last one before we get to our next game. Nobody thinks about it, but you have heard about people getting airlifted to a hospital. The unfortunate secret is that the airlifting of someone to a hospital, that's usually not covered by insurance, which is why there's Air Medcare Network, which is there to prepare you if the unthinkable happens. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses, zero. Join today. Never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. This is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, by the way, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. So it basically pays for itself. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. All right, let's get to the Eagles 44, Lions 6. We already talked about the running backs here. Jalen Hurts was fine, didn't really need to do anything, just 14 pass attempts, 9 completions, 103 yards passing. He does add 71 yards rushing. Dallas Goedert gets 6 of those 9 completions there, 72 yards. He's just a locked-in tight end one, I think, for both of us. But what about Devontae Smith? 3 targets, 1 catch, 15 yards. Again, it's a weird game. Hurts doesn't need to throw all that much, but he's got 1 touchdown, Pat, on the year back in week 1. He's topped 77 yards once. Is this just a flex play consideration guy that we keep rostered and starting if we absolutely need to?
I think that's kind of it. A flex play consideration, a guy we're going to see in a lot of start sit questions probably for the next few weeks, Dan, like people not knowing whether they can trust him or not. And it didn't help people's trust levels that he didn't do anything today, but it was kind of a game where passing volume was just so muted that, you know, was really wasn't Smith's fault.
Yeah. I'm just going to put up this thing. The Woody hat is not at all comfortable, by the way. I've been thinking about how long I can go with it to swip over to my Fantasy Bros hat right now. But I'm a gamer and I'm going to keep it going. But yeah, I have a giant head and this is just basically balancing on top of it. So that's where we're at. But Jeremy Santana, who commented on our live stream. Again, please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you are here. That's how you can comment on this and just come and watch it. It's a good time. And again, you can see me trying to fight back the pain. Anyway, for the Lions, when Jamal Williams was inactive here, Pat, I bumped Swift up to 3rd in my running back rankings. One of the perils of making the adjustment. That was a mistake. 12 for 27 on the ground. 5 catches, 24 yards through the air. He does lose a fumble. Now, the Lions scored 6 points in this game, Pat. They were never in it. Do you just throw out this game when you're evaluating DeAndre Swift the rest of the season?
Yeah. I do. I mean, and he's had a lot of garbage yards and didn't get the garbage yardage today. But that was kind of interesting. I mean, we got that head fake on a lot of these last second inactives, like the Calvin Ridley thing. And we're all rushing to move up Russell Gage, the Jamal Williams inactive. Like, ooh, how much further should we push up DeAndre Swift?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those things didn't exactly go well, but yeah, you cannot play any Detroit wide receiver.
Very good.
TJ Hawkinson, you're still playing. You're playing Swift. That's it. Swift and Hawk. That's it. Pretty
love
simple.
It. Oh, I love it. We can go to the next game. That was the question. Wonderful. Hawk did have a good game here. 11 targets, 10 catches, 89 yards. Nice to see that. Still a must-start option. Ignore everybody else. Rams 38, Texans 22. Pour one out for the Rams bettors who had the Rams minus 16.5 here, losing it on all the garbage time. It's almost entirely good news here for the Rams and their fantasy assets. But I do want to spend a little bit of time here on a couple of guys we'll get to in a second. First, Matthew Stafford does throw for 305 yards and three touchdowns, one each to Cooper Kupp, who responded, Pat, to your insults about where you're going to rank him next year with 115 yards and a score. One touchdown goes to Robert Woods, who I'm going to talk about in a second. Another one to Darrell Henderson, who also adds 14 carries, 90 yards, another touchdown on the ground. So two players I do want to get your thoughts on. One is Woods here. Nine targets are good. A touchdown is good. Three receptions and 35 yards are bad. So what's your overall outlook going forward on Robert Woods?
Wide receiver three, still involved, but so is Van Jefferson. And obviously Cooper Kupp is just a monster now. And Kupp is like the best receiver on this team by a mile.
Yep.
Like we thought it was close, Kupp and Woods before, but now like Stafford and Kupp are just so in sync.
Yeah.
And like Woods and Stafford are not quite as synced up. Like they're just, you know, not like they're totally off or anything, but like you just don't see the same chemistry with those two. And, you know, Woods is going to have some decent games and we've seen a few, but, and the nice thing is it seems like there's a sturdy floor. Like he's rarely just completely MIA, maybe a couple weeks at the very beginning of the season. But since then he at least shows up. There's a floor there for you. So,
right.
But yeah, wide receiver three.
Yeah. And I love Woods and I have been like a Woods like defender every single time. And I did rank him slightly higher than Kupp coming into the year. And I remember debating that. And it was really just the Woods rushing, you know, the 85 yards and the rushing touchdown that he was going to get throughout the season that made the difference for me. But yeah, this is something where it's real and you've got to rank him as a wide receiver three, which I agree with. The other guy I want to talk about is Tyler Higbee. Three targets, catches all of them, 25 yards. He hasn't topped 46 yards receiving, Pat, since week one. We talked about the tight ends, like you alluded to it. Do you think we can drop Tyler Higbee at this point?
Pretty close. It's such a wide receiver-centric passing attack. And the average depth of these Higbee targets, I'll have to check what his A dot is, but it can't be very deep. They're just using him pretty close to the line of scrimmage. And I tweeted something out this week about how many targets he's gotten inside the red zone and inside the 10-yard line. Quite a few.
Yes.
Have only paid off in one target so far. And the Texans have been getting slammed for touchdown after touchdown by opposing tight ends. It's like six touchdowns by tight ends in the last 5 weeks or something like that. Seemed like it was setting up for a Higbee touchdown today, and of course it didn't happen. I think he might have had yet another red zone target, I think, and might have even caught one where he got like shoved out of bounds at the 4-yard line or 3-yard line or something like that. I vaguely recall that. Anyway,
hey, you might be right. I'm not disputing it. I'm just trying to remember.
It's not happening, and I would rather have, I think, Pat Freiermuth at this point than Tyler Higbee.
That was the question, Pat. God, you're in my head today. I love it, which is fantastic. Okay, so let's talk about the other side of the ball here. This is really all garbage time. Davis Mills winds up throwing for 310 yards and two touchdowns, one to Brevin Jordan, one to Brandon Cooks, catches all six of his targets for 83 yards, and the score again, all in garbage time, though your leading rusher is, of course, Rex Burkhead with 21 yards. He does score the touchdown. Terod Taylor should be back, I assume, next week. You know, who knows, but at this point, but shortly. I don't know, Pat, any specific thoughts on what we saw here from the Texans today?
No, don't wade into the Texans backfield. It was Rex Burkhead led with snaps with 30, Scotty Phillips 15, David Johnson only 11.
Yeah.
Philip Lindsay 8. And people thought that maybe it was going to be running it back to 2020 when David Johnson was a running back too. I think he finished as like the running back 19 last year in half point PPR scoring. It's not going to happen this year. They're just not willing to make him their workhorse. And, you know, they're just going to rotate backs and it's going to be a mess. So don't bother with it.
Yeah, I agree. 49ers 33, Bears 22. This was the best version of the 49ers that we want to see here. Elijah Mitchell, Pat, again, another week where I feel like Elijah Mitchell comes up in like 40% of the start sit questions that I get on our Instagram yes. live and everything like that. And I recommend Mitchell almost, you know, routinely. And I'm not like overflowing with confidence about it, but it is still something where he comes out at a spot where I am starting him over most of these guys. And he comes through again here, 18 for 137 on the ground with the touchdown. People still want to hold Jeff Wilson shares. They are irrelevant, and I would move on. Jimmy Garoppolo throws for 322. He also rushes for two scores here. Deebo Samuel, meanwhile, 9 targets, 6 catches, 171 yards receiving. You and I both had him as our 7th wide receiver in our rest of season rankings. Maybe we're even too low. Brandon Ayuk sighting here, 7 targets, 4 catches. 45 yards, also a 2-point conversion. We can talk about whatever you want here, Pat, but we should note at least that George Kittle is coming back next week, reportedly. And I don't know what impact, if any, you think this has on the 49ers offense.
I don't think it's going to impact Deebo that much. I think it will impact Ayuk, who, as it is, just there's something not going on with Ayuk this year. That I don't know why he was so good last year, and it just seems like something is off with him. Like, he's always got a defender in his hip pocket, or like there's a concentration lapse at the catch point, or there's just something. I mean, we saw the obviously rain slicked game with the Colts and like that botched punt. I don't know. It just seems like he can't get himself. I think maybe the demotion got into his head a little bit, and he just doesn't seem like the same guy he was last year. So I don't think he's going to be playable with Kittle back. And Mitchell does look great. As you mentioned, Dan, the subject of a lot of start sit questions.
Every week.
Luckily, I got a lot wrong this week, but I did tell people repeatedly when they asked me, you know, if Eli Mitchell was involved in a start sit question, I said start him.
And ditto.
Like, say what you will about Kyle Shanahan, and people were saying quite a bit after last week's results. Mm-hmm. But the guy can design a running game, and that running game looked fantastic today. The blocking was excellent. A lot of yards before contact, a lot of yards after contact for Eli, as he was just blasting through those creases in the defense and getting to the second level just consistently. And yep. It was a pleasure to watch. And like, I think he's pretty safe here. I'm not too worried about Jeff Wilson's return. I'm definitely not worried about Trey Sermon coming back. Mm-hmm. And taking this job. So yeah, Eli is like a rock solid RB2 going forward.
So long as he stays healthy, nothing's taking that job from him for sure. So I agree with you there. For the Bears, we talked already about Justin Fields. His one touchdown went to Jesse James, 3 targets, 3 catches, 38 yards. Darnell Mooney is your leading receiver, 9 targets. Good. 6 catches, 64 yards. Okay. We will certainly take that at this point. Allen Robinson, 4 targets, 3 catches, 21 yards. I think we said it last week, but should you roster any Bears wide receiver?
I think Mooney could be the last guy on your bench.
Okay.
No on Allen Robinson.
It's really disheartening, but that's the correct answer. Khalil Herbert, 25 touches, just 68 yards. Damian Williams leaves early with an injury. I don't know. Anything you want to say about Herbert at all?
Yeah, he got hurt and came back. The Bears offensive line is bad. He's been good before. Like,
yep.
Just kind of ran into a brick wall today, but it sounds like David Montgomery isn't going to be back in the next couple of weeks, maybe not till after their bye.
Yeah.
So I think you can still play Herbert.
Yeah. And again, you said you don't expect Herbert to have at least a fantasy role, but a meaningful role after Montgomery comes back, right?
Yeah, I kind of think not. Yep. It'll be interesting to see how the Bears handle that, but I don't think it'll be enough of a role for you to comfortably start him in fantasy.
Patriots 27, Chargers 24. Damien Harris does get the job done enough, not the monster day maybe that we all envisioned with the Chargers run defense, but 23 carries, 80 yards. He does score the touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson and Brandon Bolden do get the rest of the work with JJ Taylor inactive here. Pretty conservative game plan here from the Patriots, and it works. 218 yards for Mac Jones. Your leading receiver is Nelson Agholor, 6 targets, 3 catches, 60 yards, and you had Kendrick Bourne with 4 for 38, Jacoby Myers 4 for 37, Hunter Henry just 1 catch for 33 yards. All right, I'll put it like this, Pat. Do you think we should be regularly starting any Patriots player other than Damian Harris?
No. Okay. Jacoby Myers is empty PPR calories.
It's so annoying, Pat. So annoying because you feel he did have the 2-point conversion, but it's just, you know, there's not going to be any touchdown. You know, the targets are going to be there.
No big plays either.
It's just, obnoxious. For the Chargers, Austin Eckler does play and plays well. 11 for 64 with a touchdown on the ground. 10 targets, 6 catches, 60 yards through the air. Keenan Allen, 11 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards with the touchdown. Good to see there. Justin Herbert, like last year, struggles again against New England. 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 2 picks, 1 a pick 6 that really changed the complexion of the game. But Mike Williams, Pat, that's what I want to talk about here. 5 targets, 2 catches, 19 yards. 3 of his last 4 games, Pat, he has combined for 14 targets, 5 catches, and 57 yards. Now, of course, in the other one of those 4 games, it was 8 catches, 165 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But do you have any concerns here on Mike Williams after a few down games?
I do. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago that he first started limping around during one of those games with some sort of knee issue. And the knee thing has kind of popped up as a practice thing. And he's been showing up on the practice reports as limited, I think, a couple times in the last few weeks. So maybe the knee is still bothering him. I guess that's really the only plausible explanation I can think of for this downturn. But yeah, 3 of the last 4 have been total duds.
Yeah, I'm concerned. And, you know, what's weird, Pat, is I've had this like non-quantifiable concern about him even before sort of the injury, where I was just like, I don't feel comfortable ranking Mike Williams as high as I do, either rest of season or each week, because there was something about it. And now it just, whether it is the injury, and I kind of thought, you know, with the bye that maybe he was fully healthy, but I don't know, it's something, Pat. So realistically, I think I'm going to look, actually, I don't know exactly where we had him rest of season. This is fine. I am podcasting live and doing this while we're here. Yeah. So you had him 9th, Pat. I had him 13th. Are you going to be moving him down, I assume, after this one?
Probably in the 13, 14, 15 range.
Yeah. And for me, I will probably move him down more to like the 16, 17, 18 range, just a corresponding drop. But I agree, still a guy you're starting every week. But I think lower than that sort of quote unquote truly elite status, you know? Seahawks 31, Jaguars 7. This was a game that was as lopsided as the final score. DK Metcalf, all 6 of his targets caught for 43 yards, but the 2 touchdowns. And as everybody was expecting, Tyler Lockett, of course, 13 targets, 12 catches, and 142 yards. Now they get a bye. Wilson should be back soon, so I'm not sure if it really matters even digesting this game with Geno under center. But let's assume Geno is the quarterback out of the bye. Does this game ease your concern a little bit about both receivers, or was this much more of just exploiting a really easy matchup?
I think it's matchup dependent. It didn't work out against the Saints, one of the better defenses in the NFL. It did work out smashingly against the Jaguars, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So I think, you know, the Saints or the Seahawks passing game is going to be very matchup sensitive as long as Geno's in there.
Well, now they have a bye, as I said, and if it is out of the bye, it is Green Bay. So we'll see what that does. Meanwhile, again, Geno Smith, who has a very effective and efficient day here, also runs in a touchdown. So for, you know, the people in his family who started him in fantasy, you had a great time. Alex Collins, 10 for 44 on the ground, not really much. Rashad Penny, 7 carries, 7 yards on the ground. There are rumors, Pat, out there that Chris Carson could even miss the remainder of the season. Now, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen anything specific, but there are people whispering that that could be the case. If so, Pat, how would you feel about Alex Collins going forward?
Maybe high-end wide receiver 3. I just feel like he's not that good, Dan. Like, there's not a lot of pass-catching upside. There's no big play potential because he's a plotter. I mean, he just, right, you know, he's going to get caught once he gets past the, you know, once he gets into the second level, he's going to get caught pretty quickly. So yeah, I feel like there's not a lot there. He's someone you can throw in as your running back 2 or flex in a pinch if you're hurting at running back, and a lot of people are, we know. So sure. That's about it. It's nice that he's holding off Rashad Penny, I guess.
Yeah,
about all we can say.
Well, Penny's not really doing much, unfortunately, to help his cause, despite how many times I go to bed, you know, saying a little wish for it. But
I will say, Dan, it will help when Wilson gets back. I mean, Wilson means longer, more sustained drives, more scoring opportunities close to the goal line. Like, all those things are good for running backs, and it's going to help Collins. Like, there's going to be some residual benefit to Wilson being back for sure.
Yes, absolutely. A great point. And let's hope that it is. Again, they have a bye right now, so let's hope that it is after this week, so they can play Green Bay and we can all, except you, enjoy watching that game. For the Jaguars, James Robinson leaves early here, Pat, with an ankle injury. So I'm not sure of the severity right now. I haven't heard anything. Carlos Hyde, ton of work here. 15 touches, 72 yards. We can talk about that on the waiver wire show if we need to. Dan Arnold, 10 targets, 8 catches, 66 yards. Jamal Agnew, 12 targets, 6 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown. But, Pat, in a game that Trevor Lawrence attempts 54 passes, Laviska Shenault sees 4 targets, and he catches 2 of them for 13 yards. Should we be rostering Laviska Shenault any further?
I think it really depends on the team. I think he is close to being a drop for a lot of people. And I know a lot of people are frustrated. There was a really good article on fantasypros.com this week by Jeff Bell about hybrid players. And one of the guys he talked about in that article was Jamal Agnew. And Jamal Agnew is basically playing for the Jaguars, the old Percy Harvin role for the Seahawks. And the Percy Harvin role we saw him play for Urban Meyer at Florida. And it's like kind of this hybrid wide receiver running back role, and was the role Laviska was playing. But with DJ Chark not there, now Laviska is playing a more conventional wide receiver role.
Yep.
And like, you know, Jeff said he didn't think Laviska had the short area quickness to excel in that role. Agnew's playing it now. I don't know if he excelled today. The target efficiency wasn't exactly there, like less than 4 yards per target or whatever. But he has been making the most of it, I guess, in recent weeks. But it's messing up Laviska's target share. And, you know, Dan Arnold's getting these targets too. So with Arnold and Agnew suddenly in the mix, we thought it was going to be this bonanza for Marvin Jones and Laviska when DJ Chark got hurt, and it's not the case. And I don't know if it's going to be the case going forward. So getting back to, as you know, what your question was, yeah, I think in some leagues, Laviska is probably droppable.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually had the discussion with Yates where I think he was saying he was a riser, and I was sort of saying, I'm concerned because of the fact that he's not playing the slot anymore. He's going to go play this conventional sort of perimeter wide receiver role. And that's not where he belongs at this point. And that's not going to be good for his value, you know, once Chark went out. So yeah, I'm concerned. And I will let everybody know for Marvin Jones, when I decide to bench him in my home league, he's going to go off. When I decide to start him, he won't. I'll make that public next time on Sunday mornings going forward for you guys, because I can't seem to get him right for whatever reason. Let's talk about the Saints 36 and the Bucks 27. The big news for the Saints, of course, is the injury to Jameis Winston, which early word is it's pretty severe right now to his knee. So we can expect him to miss some time, if not the rest of the season. Now, Taysom Hill is expected back next week. We're going to see what they do. In the meantime, Trevor Siemian, yeah, you know, it's passable in this game, 16 for 29 for 159 yards and a touchdown, but very much a grinded out sort of game. Alvin Kamara, 19 for 61 on the ground. He does get the touchdown, just 3 catches of 15 yards through the air. Traquan Smith also catches a touchdown, but your leading receiver is Kevin White with 38 yards and 1 catch with Jameis Winston, without Jameis Winston. Again, I feel like we say it every week, but I like to say it again. Kamara is the only Saint that is rosterable right now, unless you are like stashing Michael Thomas on IR, right?
I think Ingram is rosterable just because he is a premium handcuff and probably no standalone value, but I think he's a premium handcuff. I think you would want him if something were to happen to Kamara behind one of the best offensive lines in the league, even without Andrews Pete.
I think that's a great point. He's not startable, obviously, at least right now, right? Like, you're not going to start him going forward.
No.
Very good. Then that is fair, because I do think, you know, frankly, and, you know, Latavius Murray was more of like an 8 to 10 touch guy. You could probably start him in a pinch, but he was someone who you had to roster as the backup guy in that offense. So that is a very good point. Mark Ingram as well, but you're not starting him. For the Bucs, No Antonio Brown here. Gronk does play, but he leaves early with back spasms and he has no catches. Brady winds up throwing for 375 yards and four touchdowns, but also two picks. He really spreads it out. 10 different receivers caught the ball. Chris Godwin is your leader. 12 targets, eight catches, 140 yards with the touchdown. Mike Evans does find the end zone here on a 41-yard catch, but otherwise completely held in check, as kind of expected here. Four targets, two catches, 48 yards with the touchdown. Leonard Fournette just can't get going in the tough matchup. 8 for 26 on the ground, 3 for 17 through the air. This just felt like a weird game to me, Pat, for the Bucs. A rare negative game script for them. A very tough opposing defense. Do you have any takeaways here on the Bucs side of the ball?
No, we kind of knew this was going to be a Chris Godwin game just because Evans was going to get Lattimore on a lot of snaps. I mean, they tried to move him around a little bit and put him in the slot some of the time to get him away from Lattimore. And, you know, he did hit on the one play and almost hit on another early on where Brady just overshot him. I think Evans might have stumbled a little bit after some contact with Lattimore. I guess the one takeaway is that we saw kind of an inefficient game from Tom Brady. He took some sacks.
Yep.
He threw the interceptions. He needed a lot of attempts to get all those yards. And it kind of goes back to what we saw from Brady against Dennis Allen's defense with the Saints last year. Like, Brady wasn't great in three games against the Saints last year.
Yep.
And he runs into them again in week 15 this year in the fantasy playoffs. So something to watch. I mean, if you get the numbers that you got from Brady today in week 15 in the playoffs, you'll be pleased.
Right.
But
that's the point though, Pat. I mean, I was somebody who, again, I gave out a few props. I gave out one Betting Pros live stream. I thought he had a prop of, like, I don't know, 308 passing yards today. I felt pretty confident in the under. So, yeah. I mean, does this though, if they do run up against each other, obviously it was a much better fantasy game than it was a real life game and everything like that. But would you be concerned the next time then that they meet up from a fantasy perspective?
Definitely. They just ran a lot of plays today because the Bucs, the Saints got some short fields today and like had some quick scoring drives and handed the ball right back to the Bucs. So they ran a lot of plays and that's why he got that yardage. But yeah, that was one of my best bets on player props was the under on Brady. And it just didn't work out. I felt like it was the right bet, but it didn't work out.
Well, if you and I both miss on a bet, Pat, then you know that it was a weird day. Broncos 17, Washington football team 10. We talked about Gordon earlier. As expected, your leading wide receiver for the Broncos is, of course, Tim Patrick. Three catches, 64 yards. Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy see similar targets, 40 and 39 yards receiving, respectively. Again, Noah Fant, just four targets, two catches, 8 yards. On a day when Albert O returns and catches all three of his targets for 34 yards. I mean, this is the first game with Jeudy back here. Pat, just overall thoughts here on the Broncos receiving core.
I'm kind of worried the party's over for the Courtland Sutton stakeholders. I think he's going to be more like a wide receiver three going forward. I think he and Jeudy are both going to be wide receiver threes. They're both really good. There's not a lot to go around in this offense, and Tim Patrick's going to be involved too because he still plays in three wide receiver situations and is a good receiver.
Yep.
And Noah Fant's still around. And we saw Noah Fant sort of lose some value with Albert O returning from IR this week. So Albert O had some targets and some catches, and Fant just sort of disappeared. As I mentioned, Dan, the bottom of the TE1 tier crumbling away this week, and Fant was part of that.
Yep. I am concerned for sure as well. Meanwhile, Pat, kudos to you. Again, I told you in I Am Confused About Your Opinion, Sir, the pickings were slim here today, Pat, because I don't know, man, your rest of season rankings are very tight. You already had Sutton as your 32nd wide receiver here. So kudos to you for being ahead of the curve a little bit with it. For Washington, disappointment here from both Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. Gibson, 8 for 34 on the ground, three targets, three catches, 20 yards through the air. Jared Patterson, 11 for 46 on the ground. So, Pat, you had Gibson 25th in your rest of season ranking. So, again, ahead of the curve here, you have been fading him a little bit. I assume you're going to continue to fade him going forward.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to. And Jared Patterson now might start to become a thing. I wonder, I'll be curious to know what that means, because it wasn't like we could say, oh, this game was out of hand. They thought they'd spare Gibson some wear and tear. Like, this game was tight throughout. And for Patterson to get that sort of usage, the Gibson investors have to be incredibly nervous about that.
Yeah, I've been worried about the eventual injury with the shin and just succumbing to the fact that he's playing through a stress fracture in his shin, but this really just does not look good. I kind of assumed if he's going to play, he's going to play well until it all, the party ends, but this is not good. I'm very concerned. And McLaurin, a tough matchup here, but 7 targets, 3 catches, 23 yards, plus a 12-yard run. Obviously, J.D. McKissic, very involved, catches all 8 of his targets for 83 yards. Any concerns on McLaurin here?
No, I just... So I think he played pretty close to his normal snap share. There were some concerns about that because McLaurin is asthmatic and was playing in Denver for the first time. And I wasn't sure how that was going to go for him. But no, I just, I'm disappointed in this offense overall, Dan. It just, it doesn't seem like it's functioning very well. Then they lost center Chase Roullier today, like one of the better centers in the league. I think he got carted off. So man, like there's just not a lot about the Washington offense I feel good about right now.
I really thought that they would cover and or win this game, Pat. I really did. But yeah, the offense is just kind of dysfunctional, unfortunate. Now, I mean, McLaurin is still going to be, you know, you had him 15th. Oh, man, Pat, once again, another guy who you just have nailed in your rest of season rankings as compared to me. You had him 15th rest of season. Is that roughly where you think you'll keep him? You think you'll drop him at all?
He'll be around there, lower if anything, but 15 to 18 maybe.
Okay, very good. All right, that is going to do it for our Halloween recap show. Thank you everybody who tuned in live, who watched me suffer through wearing this hat on my head. Thank you also to our sponsors, First Masterworks. Invest some money in contemporary art and follow the advice of 86% of the world's foremost financial experts. Go to masterworks.io/fantasy. Thanks also to DraftKings. Download their sportsbook app right now. Use promo code FantasyPros. New customers can bet just $5 and win $200 in free bets if your team wins. Finally, thanks to Air Medcare Network. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FantasyPros and use offer code FantasyPros. As you guys probably know, Yates is going to be out on paternity leave for a couple of weeks. Hopefully has a new baby tomorrow. So I will be one of the analysts on the Waiver Wire show tomorrow, which I hope you guys all tune in on. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of Sunday Night Football, and I'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.